Okay, let's begin again here. And we'll look at this first aspect of being single-minded. And we'll look at James chapter 1. And our key verse here then is verse 8. James describes this individual as a double-minded man who's unstable. The opposite of that, of course, would be to be a single-minded man and, of course, be stable. So let's look at what he says, chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you might be mature, perfect, complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because of the flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So is the rich man will also fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So James is describing an individual that's going through a difficult time, a time of testing. We sometimes use the word testing. The word is sometimes also translated temptation. But we like to use the word testing because of the result. It's easy to think of temptation in terms of, all right, Satan tempts us to sin. Like, when we're going through a time of temptation, the result is to see whether or not we commit a sin. Testing is to see if we're going to do something good, or better, when we do something good. That's the idea of testing. To allow you to have an opportunity to prove that you're doing something good. James says, a single-minded man trusts the Lord in those difficult times, those times of testing. He's trusting that the Lord knows what's best, and that the result will be a good one afterwards. Now, for Christmas, what we did, we got some toy catalogs, and we let the kids kind of look through these toy catalogs. They could pick out a few things, and then we were going to get them some of those things that they picked out. So Elkanah and Samuel are looking through these toy catalogs, and Samuel sees this large, like, foldable Thomas the Train tent. So he starts getting very excited. Tent! Thomas! 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 He says. And he points to the tent in the magazine. He got so excited about it. So we thought, what a great present. That would be perfect. You know, it's really easy to fold up and fold out, and they can climb in it, and it's kind of big. It stands about this tall, and it's bigger than I can reach across. And, you know, they can play in it, but yet it folds up into something, you know, about like this big and that thick. It's kind of amazing. So we thought, why not? We'll get him a Thomas tent. So we did. And, so it came in this big box, you know, we had all wrapped up. The box was taller than he was, and Christmas morning came along. We're like, all right, Samuel, it's time to open your big present. And he goes to tear the wrapping paper off, and he looks at it, and he kind of shrugs, and he walks over to play with something else. And we're like, what? You know, you got so excited about this earlier. Now, maybe you just don't realize what it is. So, you know, we open the box up, and the thing like kind of opens up really big. And he just kind of walks around it and looks at it, kind of shrugs. In the meantime, his sister is getting the presents out of her stocking stuffers. And she reaches in to the stocking stuffer, and she pulls out this little present, and she tears it open. And it's a small bag of four ring pops. And she's like, ooh, ring pops. And Samuel whips around, ring pops, ring pops. So Elka starts running. So he's, because that's what they do. Like, she'll get a toy, he'll try to grab it from her. In this case, she had ring pops, he's trying to grab it from her. So they chase each other around the house for every bit of 20 minutes, all excited about these ring pops. And Shane and I are sitting there thinking, well, saying to each other, well, if we'd just known that they would get so excited about ring pops, we just bought them ring pops and saved ourselves a lot of money and pain. You know, we just got them ring pops for Christmas. Ring pops, is a ring pop. But we thought you wanted a tent. Ring pop, ring pop. Do children really know what they want? Not usually. A child doesn't really know what they want. They might think they know what they want. They usually don't know what they want. Samuel thought he wanted this big tent. We got him a tent. Nothing compared to ring pops, apparently. He's being double-minded. But the characteristic of a mature believer is to be single-minded, to know what you want and to stick with it, to stick at it, to make that decision and stay with it, not to be wishy-washy or going back and forth. So when you're going through difficult times, and he says you're going to be going through some hard times, those times are meant to test you, those times are meant to show that you have some good traits. But as you're going through those times, trust the Lord, don't get wishy-washy. Don't trust the Lord 1 minute, and then the next try to trust something else, like your own wisdom, or your wealth, or other things. Make that decision to trust the Lord, stick to it, even when times get hard. A mature believer is single-minded. So when is it important to be single-minded? Well, when things are difficult. Look at what he says. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work. When the times are difficult, trust the Lord. Now, when Jesus brings up this kind of old joy when you're going through various testing or tempting, it's not like you're getting a plate of sugar cookies and like, ooh, would you like a sugar cookie? Oh, I really don't think I should have a sugar. Oh, please, just try one. Well, you know, I really shouldn't. Oh, they're so tasty. Oh, okay. You know, that's not the kind of temptation that or testing that James is talking about. He's talking about something that's like serious, that's going to... It's not easy. It's not an easy time to go through. But he says, as you're going through this time, you trust the Lord. God is testing your faith. Now, it's kind of hard to be joyful when you're going through this time. But James says to count it all joy. Why? Why count it all joy? Well, if you have a pencil or the margin of your paper or whatever, just think in your mind. I'm going to ask you, they're going to have a little pop quiz. All right, so here's a little pop quiz. Two questions in your pop quiz. All right? Two questions. Here they are. The first question is to name the four rivers that leave the Garden of Eden. There's four rivers that flow from the Garden of Eden. Name all four. All right, so think of those answers in your head. All right, the second question is, reconcile predestination and free will and use some scripture verses to back it up. Now, is that an easy quiz or a hard one? Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. All right, so this quiz is going to be easy. I'll give you another quiz. Like, we'll scrap that old quiz. I'll give you another quiz. This one will be an easy one, all right? So if you're still keeping writing on your piece of paper, here's an easy quiz, all right? Here's my easy quiz. Write in one question in my easy quiz. Here it is. Write down the name that you like to be called. Or just think of it in your mind. Now, which quiz would you rather have? The easy quiz or the hard one? Well, you're like, well, of course the easy one. Why would you rather have the easy one? Well, because it's easy. How did you know it was easy? Well, you told me it was easy. Since you told me that it was easy, I had some confidence that I was going to do okay. You might as well have just told me that we all would pass, because we all know the name that we like to be called. We might not be able to list the rivers that come out of Eden, but we could at least write down the name we like to be called. I mean, you didn't even ask me what my real name is, because I might forget my real name, but I do know the name I like to be called. That's an easy quiz. I'm guaranteed success. In a similar way, as the Lord is putting us through tests, He's trying to show that we are genuine believers. It's a test that we're meant to pass. Not in the sense that it's easy, like the questions are easy to answer. But it is easy in the sense that it's a test that we are meant to pass. We just had our midterms the other day. And midterms are always a difficult time for students. Because for one thing, it's the summary of all that we've done in this, you know, up to this point in the school year. For another thing, a lot of times their grade is right on the line. And this midterm is going to make or break their grade. It's midterms. We're going to review. Now, if I were to tell these students, you know, as they come into the midterm and they're worried and they're wondering if they're going to be able to perform well in this test, and they've been working hard and studying, and you can see the anxiousness on their papers and their pleading eyes. Mr. Weaver, please, some extra credit. Please, we implore you. You know, how would that all change if I were to say to them, this is your midterm, you will all pass? Now, how would that alleviate? Wouldn't that just alleviate all that worry, all that wondering? This is a test you will pass. James is saying, as we're going through these difficult times, it is meant to be a test that we will pass. How do we know we pass? Well, as we go through that test, it builds our patience. Well, the word is really endurance. The result is endurance. We go through these tests, it helps us to endure, to do better during tests, at times of testing. Think about a runner. How do you get to be a good runner? Do you get to be a good runner eating potato chips and hanging out on the lazy boy? That would be nice, but that's not how it works, right? How do you get to be a good runner? You get to be a good runner by running. And not just short distances either, right? You have to run for a while, and you have to work on it. You have to build that endurance so that when you are in a race, you can finish the race well. James says, similar thing. How do you get a strong tree? How do you get a good tree? And if you took a tree and you put it in this bulletproof glass bubble, is it going to be a good, strong tree? No. Like, a tree needs rain and wind and sun and storms and all these hard, harsh times to get deep roots and strong fibers to make a tough old tree. How do you get to be a mature believer? You go through some hard experiences. And those experiences give you endurance. That endurance helps you to be patient. Like, you weather those storms. You trust the Lord. Even though the time's tough, you trust Him. It helps you overcome other difficult times as time goes on. So, most of my examples are about cakes, because we've been dealing with cakes lately with Samuel's birthday. But let's say you are baking a cake. You mix the ingredients. You add the egg. You stir it up. You pour it into the pan. You slide the pan into the oven. You crank the oven up to 400. You leave it in there for 12 minutes or however long you bake a cake. And in that oven, that cake is cooking. So you turn on the oven light and you look in and you see that that cake is enduring this really harsh temperature. And it's dry in there, and it's hot in there, and that oven is baking that cake. And you look in, and you see that cake starting to dry out on the edges, and you see that cake cooking in there, and you see that cake going through that heat, and you think to yourself, that poor cake, oh no, it's going through such a hard time. I'm going to, you know, I can't take it anymore. That poor cake. And you pull the cake out of the oven. You rescue the cake from the harsh temperatures. And you slide it onto the tray. And you turn it over to get it out of the confined cake pan. And there it is all over your counter. I mean, is it a good cake? No, not until you let it stay there and cook it till it's done. You pull out that cake prematurely, it's going to be soft and gooey and undercooked, and no one's going to like it. You leave that cake in there until the work's done, you're going to have a good cake. James says, you're going through some hard times. What's the point of that heat and pressure And that hard, difficult time to make you a good cake? Yeah, in a sense. You build that endurance. You build that patience as a result of that difficult time. Makes you something that's pleasant. So trust the Lord. Rest on Him. Even though you're going through a hard time, you make the decision to trust Him. He knows what He's doing. Like a baker knows what he's doing when he puts that cake into the hot oven. He knows the result will be better. As you go through that hard time, trust that the Lord knows that the result will be better. The result of that endurance is maturity. It's maturity. We trust the Lord. You think about, James actually brings up the example of Job, but you think about what Job went through. You know, he lost everything he had in one day, but that was difficult. I think equally as difficult was here were his friends spending a long time with him, trying to convince him to curse God and die, right? And yet Job trusted the Lord, even though his friends spent all that time trying to change his thinking. Job trusted the Lord until the time of testing was done. And at the end, Job was vindicated. God said, listen, Job is right. And Job is righteous. And you are saying things that are not true about me. Job trusted me. He was right to trust me. And he still does. Trust Him through those difficult times. When I was 15, just before my birthday, about a week before my birthday, Grandma Weaver died. Now, I never knew my grandfather. I had three, actually, grandfathers, because my grandmother on my mom's side married twice. But I never met them at all. They had all died before I was old enough to even remember. But my grandmother's, I knew my Grandma Weaver until I was 15, and she died about a month before my birthday. My Grandma Jones died that spring, so my birthday's in February. But my Grandma Jones, my grandma on my mother's side, died that spring. A dad had been out of work for about a year and a half. And he had recently gotten a job in Martinsburg. At the time we were living in Morgantown, he had gotten a job in Martinsburg and was just commuting back and forth on the weekends. Like he would go up there and stay, and then he would come back on the weekend. When my Grandma Jones died, there wasn't any real reason to keep us in Morgantown, so he decided our family was going to move, so we all moved. So all in that year, both my grandparents died, my grandmother's died, and we moved to a new place. I didn't know a soul. All my friends, our chapel, everybody, you know, left it all behind. And I was pretty angry. And that was a pretty rough time. And I was going through a lot of things that year that was pretty difficult. Losing all my friends, losing my grandmothers. It was just going to a new place. It was a lot of hard times. It was a difficult time of life. And James says, you know, sometimes we go through these difficult times of life, but there's a point to it. There's a purpose to it. It's to build your patience. So you're going through this tough time, and you don't understand what's happening. You don't understand what God's doing. You can ask. Look at what he says. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. You don't understand what God's doing. You ask for wisdom. Now, there's two kinds of things that you want to ask for. One, Lord, help me to understand that you have a result in mind. Help me to see that result. Now, a lot of times we can't see that result until we're looking back. But help me to see that result. Make that clear to me in time. The other thing to ask for is wisdom. How can I act while I'm in this situation? Because others are watching you. They see you going through a hard time. They know how they handle hard times. They know how difficult it is for them. They know what they do. Or they just get drunk and try to forget about it. Or you know, they do these other things. You know, they know what they do in a hard time and they can't handle it well. But they look at you going through a hard time. Not that you're saying like, well, I don't need no help from nobody. I'm going through this hard time. I don't need no help. That's not what No. James says, ask for wisdom. It's okay to ask for help. That's why we have a body of believers, to be there for you and to rally around you. And other people need to see that. They need to see how believers rally around each other to help them out as they go through hard times. And when they see that, that's the kind of stuff that they want. No one rallies around me. What do these people have that's so different? I go through a hard time on my own. You know, laugh and the world laughs with you. Cry? I cry alone a lot. I would love it if someone could come by and put their arm around me. I would love it to know that someone's praying for me. What do you guys have that I don't? James says, ask for some wisdom to know how to act. Ask for some wisdom to know what God is doing. And God will answer that, but be careful. Don't be double-minded. Don't be going, don't waffle. Don't get tossed back and forth. Don't think, well, I'm going to trust the Lord in this situation, but, you know, I think I might also trust my savings account. So James says, listen, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, the rich in his humiliation. Everyone goes through trials. Poor people go through trials. Trials are a common experience for everyone. These times of testing are a common experience for everyone. Poor go through it, rich go through it. You make sure you have the right attitude, whether you're poor or rich. Make sure your attitude as you're going through the trial is right. If you're poor, have an eternal perspective. Look at what he said. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation. Poor people go through trials, so have that eternal perspective. A poor person might not have a lot in this life. They might not have a lot of things, that is. But they can definitely look forward to knowing that this time of testing, there's going to be a time where that testing is over. There's going to be a time where they're going to be welcomed into God's presence. And there's going to be a time where they have this opportunity then to earn lots of reward in heaven. Have that eternal perspective. Let him glory in his exaltation. Poor now, humble now, but he will be exalted. There will be a time of glory and honor and reward. Think about Lazarus, the rich man and Lazarus. There he is, Lazarus, laying out on the sidewalk, watching the rich man eat his food. He didn't envy him. At least we don't have any indication that he spent all his time coveting. He just trusted the Lord. The dogs licked his wounds. He ate some crumbs. He trusted the Lord. And he died. And he was welcomed into Abraham's bosom and had all the comforts of heaven. He could glory in that exaltation, knowing that that was going to be the result. Lazarus, of course, or the rich man, of course, died. He spent all his time in the torments of hell. But the poor go through trials. James says, if you're poor, you're going through a difficult time, look forward to the exaltation of heaven. Have that eternal perspective. But you know what? The rich go through trials. So the poor have to trust God, that God's going to make it right in the end. The rich, you know, they go through hard times too. Now they might have the temptation to trust their money. But James says, be careful, because no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower fades. Its beautiful appearance perishes. That money can be gone in a second. Again, Job is a great example. A very, very wealthy man. Lost it all in a day. Now, what good would it have done Job to trust those riches to deliver him from this time of trial? No good at all. Gone in a day. James says, the rich go through trials. They need to have the right attitude too. What's that attitude? An eternal perspective. They need to trust the Lord too. Not trust their wealth, but trust the certainty of heaven and maintain that humble attitude on earth. The writer to the Hebrews says this, which to me still is astounding. But he says, you joyfully accepted the plundering of your houses. Whatever happened, these Jewish believers, the Hebrew believers, were getting things taken right out of their house. They couldn't do anything about it. The writer of Hebrews says, now that's a pretty difficult trial that you're going through. And James would agree. That's a pretty difficult trial. People just coming into your house and taking everything you own. And yet you joyfully accepted the plundering of your houses because they weren't trusting in the things that they owned. They were trusting in the Lord, even though the time was difficult. He said, let the rich, in his humiliation, rest in the certainty of heaven, not in your uncertain riches. So why? Why is it important then to be single-minded, to trust the Lord no matter what? Why? Well, first of all, the Lord's trying to show us that our faith is genuine. That the testing of your faith produces patience. You test genuine faith, the result is fruit. Patience. How do we know we pass the test? Well, as we go through tests, it builds our patience. It builds our endurance. Our ability to trust the Lord, even when things are difficult. So he says, why are you going through these tests? Why trust the Lord? Why be single-minded, setting your trust in the Lord and nothing else? Because as you go through this test, it proves, it shows, it demonstrates the genuineness of your faith. Your salvation is true. Why is it important to trust the Lord even when things are difficult? Well, other people are watching, so ask for wisdom. It's an opportunity to have a good testimony. Well, why is it important to trust the Lord while we're going through these difficult times? Because the Lord is developing your character. He wants you to be a patient, single-minded individual. An individual who's mature. Let that patience have its perfect work, that you might be perfect. He wants you to be mature. Not like a child, double-minded and uncertain and tossed to and fro, but to be single-minded and mature in your faith. Why is it important to be single-minded, to trust the Lord completely when you're going through temptation? Look at verse 12. Blessed, spiritually prosperous is the man who endures that time of testing. For when, not if, for when. This is a test you will pass. Every genuine believer will show the result of patience as they go through these tests. This is a test you will pass. And when you do, James says, and when you do, you will be approved. You will receive the crown of life. As God fulfills this promise to everyone who loves Him. You go through this test. You trust the Lord. And now you're showing your love to Him by trusting Him, right? You show your love to the Lord by completely trusting Him. Remember, the disciples were in the boat in a storm and they see Christ walking across the water. And they think, oh, it's a ghost. And Peter says, if that's you, Lord, if it's really you, I'm going to walk in that water too. The Lord says, come on. And Peter demonstrates his trust in the Lord by stepping out of that boat onto the water in that very difficult time when their life was at stake and they were going through this kind of difficult test. He showed his complete trust in the Lord when he stepped out of that boat and on that water started walking to the Lord. Now he got a little double-minded, right? He started looking around at the waves and thought, oh, I can't do this. This doesn't seem right. I shouldn't be standing on water. That's kind of against the laws of nature. And he started to put his trust in other things and bloop, 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 bloop. He goes to sink. But the Lord was there, reaches out his hand. Single-minded, James says, but we show our love for the Lord by trusting Him, by putting our trust in Him. Now, it didn't seem like the right thing to do. When Peter stepped out of that boat, that didn't seem like the right thing to do. The right thing to do would be hide in the boat. Boats are known to float. Walking on water, not so certain. But Peter was willing to trust the Lord even when it was difficult, even when it was a little awkward, even when it was a little uncertain. He trusted that he would be all right. And the Lord says, you go through that time of testing. When you're approved, the time will come when you will be approved. The result is approval. The reward, crown of life, as you demonstrate your love for me by trusting that I know what I'm doing as you go through this tough time. We moved to Hedgesville, West Virginia. And I started that school year, like I said, not knowing a single person. Now, about a week before the year began, it finally dawned on me. Because when I was in junior high, I was never a bad kid. Like, I never got in trouble in junior high. But I wasn't exactly living for the Lord either. It wasn't like I was taking a stand for the Lord or witnessing to my friends much. I mean, really. I was basically just trying not to do anything wrong. So rather than doing lots of things that were right, I was just trying not to do anything that was wrong. So sure, I didn't cuss or anything, but I wasn't exactly living for the Lord at all. And I thought, you know, I kept thinking, I'm going to go to a retreat on a weekend, and I'm going to come back to school that Monday, and I'm going to tell everybody I had this big change in my life. Now, even though I knew I was saved earlier in my life, I thought maybe I could even say that I got saved on the weekend, so that my life would change and I could break free from this compromise that I'm kind of wallowing in. Anyway, I never really took that opportunity. So about a week before school started, it dawned on me. Kind of hit me. When I walked in those doors at Hedgesville High School, there was not a soul in that building who knew a thing about me. And I could be whoever, and I could be whatever I wanted. If I wanted to be a band Wally and march around in the band in my uniform and live for band, I could live for band and no one would know the difference. If I wanted to be an athlete and a jock and I wanted to walk around in my sports clothes and act like I was the best athlete in the world, I could be a jock and no one would know the difference. And if I wanted to be a nerd and wear my pocket protector and my broken glasses and button my shirt all the way up to the top and walk around like a nerd, no one would know the difference. And if I wanted to be a Christian and take a stand for the Lord and live for Him, no one would be the wiser. They would not know a thing about my history. But it was an opportunity to be whatever I wanted to be. And so I walked that building. The very first person that came up to me stuck out his hand. He said, "My name is William Gilbert Hearn Jr. I'm the junior class president. What's your name?" I said, "Well, my name is Daniel Justin Weaver. And you know why my middle name is Justin?" "No," he said, "because Daniel in the Bible was a just man." He said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "I am. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." And he said, "Hey, I know some other Christians. Let me introduce you to them." And Billy Hearn and I are still really good friends. We met his junior year of high school. He went on to be the senior class president. Anyway, we're still really close friends. I was in his wedding. He was in mine. We still talk often. But that opportunity, looking back now, I see, why did my grandparents die at that time? Why did we have to move away? God, did you know what you were doing? Yeah, He knew what He was doing. He wanted to give me an opportunity. He wanted to put me through a time to cook my cake. So when it came out of that oven, it was something better than when it went in. Trust Him single-mindedly. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that You know what You're doing. Help us to ask You for wisdom. Help us to trust You without wavering, without being wishy-washy. Help us to be confident in You as we go through difficult times so that You can help mature us, so we will be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.